Shlishi, Kopalet, Kopalet, 21, 20, chapter 22, Pasuk 21. Vayokom Bilam Baboiker, Vayachavosh Esasono, Vayelech Imsori Meyo. He got up in the morning and he saddled, he prepared his donkey. The Gemara makes the parallel between what Bilam did and what Avram Avinu did. By Avram, it also says, Vayachavosh Es Chamoiroi. And then in Pasuk Chov Gimel, Vatere Osoin Es Malach Hashem Nitzov Baderech Vecharboi Shlufo Biodoi. The donkey sees the Malach, and the Malach has a sword. Why does the Malach need a sword? So says Rashi, What is the symbolism? V'charosh tof biyodoy, Rashi posuk chof gimel, Omar, that what is the power of the umoy soilom becheret, and Bilam comes bo aleihem bepiv shehu umnoy shelohem. Why is he going with the power of the mouth? So afani ati sheloi voi veovo yolo beumnosoi. So therefore, the malach comes with the umnois of the goyim. What is the umnois of the goyim? What is the special blessing of the goyim? They are superior to the Jews as long as they use the sword. When at the time when the sword is put down and the mouth takes over. Remember, we spoke about the constant struggle between the sword and the Dvar Hashem. Until the Moisa Moshiach, the sword will disappear, it will turn into plowshares, and Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that's what the posuk in Yishayah. So, since Bilam is misusing the power of the word, well, the power of Bilam is the power of the word, therefore, that misuse of the power of the word brings about the power of the sword. This is why the Malach comes with the sword, as if to tell him, you are not using well, you're not benefiting from the power of the word, you are misusing. You are corrupting the power of the word, so you bring about the power of the sword. So, this is the symbolism that Rashi says, is in the fact that this Harboi Shlufa Biyodo, and at the end, Bilam dies by the sword. It's as if, like, you see what the misuse of the word brings about. The same thing by Odom HaRishon. When the Dvar Hashem wasn't enough to stop him from the first sin, so how did Hashem stop him from the second sin? From the Eitz HaChaim? With a sword. Again, we see the same pattern.
The idea that since Bilam is taking Bnei Israel's weapon, so Bnei Israel takes Bilam's weapon?
It's not because it's a game, because it's misusing the Jewish weapon. In other words, as long as you use it in the Jewish way, which means Tfilo and Torah, which is the power of the Dobor, of the Dvar Hashem, then it's okay. But he's misusing the power of the word. He's using the other system, the Sitro Achro power of the word. So eventually you'll bring about, you are going to strengthen the power of the sword. So this is what the symbolism is here. And in Posuk Chofei, Vatere also in Esmalach Hashem Vatilochei Tzelakir Valtilchatz Esregel Bilo Melakir. I'm sorry, the first time around we see in Posuk Chof Gimel Vayach Bilom Eso Osoin. The first time Bilom hits the Osoin, and the second time in Posuk Chof Hei by Yosef Lakoiso, and in Posuk Chof Zayin Vayicharav Bilom Vayaches Osoin Bamakeo, and in Posuk Chof Ches Vayiftach Hashem Espio Osoin Vatoimer LeBilom Mos Meo Sisi Lecho Ki Kisoni Ze Sholosh Regolim. Says Rashi Posuk Chof Ches Ze Sholosh Regolim Romaz Loi. This is a hint that he's giving him. Atom mevakesh lakor rumo hachogeges sholosh regolim bashono. You are trying to destroy the people who keep the sholosh regolim. And again, when the Malach speaks to him, in posuk lamedale vaygal Hashem esenei Bilom vayaretz haMalach. So the Malach tells him in posuk lamedveis vaymer elo Malach Hashem al mohi kiso es asoin choze sholosh regolim. Again, he stresses sholosh regolim, even though the word in Hebrew should have been peomim, sholosh peomim, not sholosh regolim. So this is why Chazal say that the whole stress is the sholosh regolim. Now, why is sholosh regolim stressed more than any other of the 613 mitzvahs? There are many mitzvahs that the Jews keep. If the hint was, how can you destroy the Jews? The Jews are going to keep the mitzvahs. Who else is going to keep the mitzvahs? So he could have chosen any the tefillin, tzitzis, Shabbos. Why the sholosh regolim specifically? Now, in the Meforshim, we find something which is the sources in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It says that there is a parallel here between Avram Avinu and Bilam, because Bilam has the three negative sides of Avram Avinu's three positive sides. The three positive sides of Avram Avinu are Ayin Toivo, this is a Perek Gimel, Mishnah Chof Gimel, Ayin Toivo, Ruach Nemucho, Nefesh Folo. Ayin Toivo, this is Chesed. Chesed. Ruach Nemucho. Ruach Nemucho, this is the Koyach of Avoido, Ruach Nemucho, which means complete subservience to Hashem. That's Ruach Nemucho. And Nefesh Shefolo, Nefesh Folo, this is the Koyach to control your desires. This is the Koyach HaToiro, Borosi Yetzer Hore. The Gemara says, I've created the Yetzer Hore, I've created the evil instinct, Borosi Loi Toiro Tavlin. The only power to control the animalistic instincts is the Koyach HaToiro. There is no other power that can control it. So the three characteristics which the Mishnah mentions by Avraham Avinu are the characteristics of Toiro, Avoido, Gmulos Chasodim. Except that by Avraham Avinu, Ayin Toivo is mentioned first because he excelled in this particular Midah. The Midas HaChesed, Chesed LeAvraham, this is the main characteristic of Avraham Avinu, Ayin Toivo. But Ayin Toivo is the Midas Milas Chasodim. So again, Ruach Nemucho is the Koyach Avoido, and Nefesh Folo is Toiro. So there is a reversal here, Gmilus Chasodim, Avoido, and Toiro. By Bilom, it's the other way around. His main characteristic is Ayin Ro. Ayin Ro is the opposite of Ayin Toivo, which means the opposite of Chesed. It's Kino. Ruach Gevoiho is the opposite of Avoido. That's Kovoi, that the fact that he feels himself on top of the world. The Nefesh Rechovo, that's the opposite of Torah. He lacked the control of Torah. He gave in. Nefesh Rechovo means that he completely gave in to his desires. Everything which he wanted to give in, to indulge in. So this is the Koyach HaTorah, the Koyach that he was missing, which is the Koyach HaTaivo. He had the Koyach HaTaivo. So it's another way of saying that Bilam had Kino, Kovoid, and Taivo, as opposed to Avraham Avinu, who had Toira, Voido, and Miles Chasodim, which are the two opposites. Now, in Chazal, in the Medrash, it says that Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, the reason why they were given to Klal Yisrael is in order to remind the Klolos, the Kehilo of Klal Yisrael. It's not a private, personal mitzvah. The Sholosh Regolim is when the whole Klal Yisrael comes to Yerushalayim, and each one of the Regolim represents one of the three characteristics which are the center of the life of the Jew, which are the goals of the Jew. Pesach is the Avoido part of Klal Yisrael. Pesach is Avoido. The whole Vavadatem is Avoido Hazois B'Chodesh Hazeh. We find that Pesach is called Avoido. Korban Pesach is Avoido. The whole idea of Pesach is the recognition that God controls the world. We take off, we get rid of the yoke of Paroi, and we accept the yoke of Hashem. That is avodah, the recognition that we are subservient to Hashem. Shavuos is the koyach ha-toyro of Klal Yisrael, the power which allows Klal Yisrael, borosiloi toyro tavlin, which means the power of the Jew to overcome his animalistic instinct. That's the koyach ha-toyro. So that's Shavuos. And Sukkos is the koyach of chesed. The yesoid of Sukkos is the yesoid of chesed. This is why on Sukkos we find that our responsibility towards our fellow man goes to the extreme, even to the goy. We never find another opportunity in the mitzvahs of Klal Yisrael that the Klal Yisrael does something for the well-being of the Gentiles. There are 70 special korbonos which are brought in Sukkos, which are specifically for the well-being of the Gentiles. We never show such a concern for the Gentiles. But Sukkos is the time of shalom, the time of chesed, when we show our concern. This is why when we describe Yemois HaMoshiach, we describe it as the building of Sukkah Shloimecho, the Sukkah. The Sukkah represents the Sholem, when everybody's united. Everybody leaves his own private house and everybody's united. This is why in the Horachmons we pray to Huyokim Lonu Es Sukkas David Anoifoles, which means Yemois HaMoshiach. And this is also described as Sukkah. And in the Medrash it says that each one of the four species, the Lulav, the Esrik, the Hadas, and the Arove, each one represents another type of a Jew. And by holding it together, you are expressing your belief in the basic unity of Klal Yisrael. So the main Yesoid of Sukkos is Chesed, the bringing together everybody, even to the extent of the Jew and the Goy. We find at the end of Zechariah, the Novi Zechariah, we find a description of Achris Hayomim, what's going to be at the end of days. And it says the following, that there is one thing that Hashem will react strongly against, is the fact that some Gentiles, some Goyim, won't come to Yerushalayim on Sukkos. That's what it says. They won't come to Yerushalayim on Sukkos. And this is what's going to happen to Mitzrayim, who is not going to come to Yerushalayim on Sukkos. And they all ask, what's up with on Sukkos? First of all, do they have the obligation of Oile Regel? Why not Pesach? Why not Shavuos? Why specifically Sukkos? So it says in the Meforshim, because Sukkos, that's the time that's given for the Gentile to recognize the centrality of Klal Yisrael. Not coming on Sukkos is not recognizing that the basic unity of mankind is centered on Kimitzio and Teitzei Toro D'Rashem Yerushalayim. So this is why Sukkos is... The characteristic of Sukkos is chesed. According to this, if this is the goal of Klal Yisrael, the goal of Klal Yisrael is in the three areas that is mentioned as the three characteristics of Avraham Avinu. He established those three characteristics. And how are they fulfilled? What is the constant reminder of Klal Yisrael of the three characteristics? The Sholesh Regolim. So it's not a coincidence at all that when Bilam, the opposite, the other side of Avraham Avinu, the one who represents the other side of the three good characteristics. What is his goal? To break down the goal of Klal Yisrael and to fulfill his goal, which will be a breakdown of the Sholesh Regolim. The Kli Yokor says something concerning the meaning of the Nevuah, because don't forget that Singa Malach is a Nevuah. Why should a donkey have a nevuah? What's the idea that the donkey has a nevuah?
What's nevuah? Animals can see these things.
What does it mean that animals can see these things? If you say that they have an instinct of danger, why it could be. But to see an angel, and to see the vision of an angel, that's not a physical experience. To see an angel is a prophetic experience. So, what is the point that the donkey is having a prophetic experience? I mean, by its very nature, a prophetic experience is only someone who has a basic relationship with Hashem. Only a human being can have a prophetic experience, by definition. Because this is what a prophetic experience is, an awareness of the presence of Hashem and an interaction between Hashem and a human being. A human being who has free will, so there is a point in the interaction. But what does it mean that animals have nevuah? So the Kli Yochor gives us the following insight. It's interesting that by Avraham Avinu, the donkey is a chamor, which is a generic name. The osoin is like a female donkey. The Gemara says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kufay, that the donkey, when it started conversing with Bilam, and when it says here in Posuk Lamed, I'm your also, it says the Gemara, the Chamor was hinting to the fact that Bilam used the Chamor for sexual relations. That's what the Gemara says here. So again, it's difficult to, what the Gemara is only interested in the private life of Bilam. Is that the point of telling us what Bilam did with the Chamor? Of course, there is something more, something which is more relevant. It says like this. In Parshas Vayero, it says that when Avraham Avinu was going to have his most intense encounter in his life with Hashem, this is Haramoirio. That was the moment that Hashem, that Avraham Avinu came the closest to Hashem. The readiness to sacrifice his own son for Hashem, that's the highest moment. So right before he reaches the top of the mountain, it says that he left his donkey behind. Right? He said to his two assistants, Shvu lochem poi im hachamor. You stay with the donkey, Vani ve'anar neil choat koi. Only I and the boy will go up to the mountain. Now, why is this a relevant fact? I mean, why does the Torah have to tell me where he parked his car? I mean, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, Shvu lochem poi im hachamor. You stay here with the chamor, says the Gemara, Hadoime lachamor. Because the two assistants which he had, according to the Gemara, those were very important people to him. Eliezer was one, Ishmael was the other one. So he says to them, you stay with the donkey, says the Gemara, because they are similar to the donkey. So of course, it's not, we're not trying to insult Ishmael and Eliezer. What's the point that the Gemara says that by leaving the chamor behind, he's giving a message, Am hadoime lachamor? The idea is the following.
Am hadome lachamor is the worst.
Yeah.
Am hadome lachamor.
Right. The simple interpretation is that anyone who is not Jewish is a chamor. That's a simple interpretation. Obviously, that's not a pshat. What is behind it? What's behind it is the following. We know that every close encounter with Hashem demands a clear recognition between your physical nature and your spiritual nature, and the capacity at that moment of the encounter to separate yourself from your physical being. This is why Nevi'im, in general, we're not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyone but Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll see right away why Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Anyone but Moshe Rabbeinu, if he was going to have an encounter with Hashem, it was a precondition that his physicality should become completely lost from his consciousness. You can't concentrate on your physicality and on your encounter with Hashem at the same time. It's a contradiction in terms. This is why every encounter of a Novi with Hashem happens while he's in a state of unconsciousness. That's what it says, that Nevim fall when they are having an encounter with Hashem. They can't stand on their feet, because to stand on your feet, you have to have a physical awareness. You can't have an awareness of Hashem and of your feet at the same time. You must fall. You can't be standing and have a nevuah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu in his first encounter by the Sneh, the Malbim right there on the spot says, what does it mean? Leave your shoes behind. Exactly, because the shoe is another way of expressing the same symbol. The symbol is your physicality. Remember, the Malbim says that the neshome, in order to come down to this world, has to put on shoes. The same way that to step on the floor, you have to put on a shoe. Your neshome, to come down to this physical world, has to put on the shoe. The physical body is your shoe. So the statement, take off your shoes, says the Malbim, represents your recognition of the two sides of you, the physical side and your spiritual side. And the awareness that in order to have that encounter, you can't be wearing your shoes. Now, the Chamor by Avraham Avinu has exactly the same symbolic meaning as the shoes by Moshe Rabbeinu. By Avraham Avinu, it's represented by the Chamor, because the Chamor is Loshen Choymer, and Choymer means physicality. So, in this encounter with Hashem, he had to leave his Chamor behind. You can't have that close encounter with Hashem and that your Chamor should come along with you. You have to separate your Chamor from your other part, and only then can you have an encounter with Hashem. So symbolically, metaphorically, he's leaving the Chamor behind is a way of the Torah to hint to you that he was able, Avraham Avinu was able, to find the separation between his physicality and his spirituality, which is a precondition to the encounter with Hashem. So when it says that Eliezer and Ishmael were left with the Chamor, doesn't mean to insult them. It means that that separation, the Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechoil, the separation between the holy and unholy, is only a characteristic the Jews have. To non-Jews it wasn't given. Only Avraham Avinu was given the koyach to leave behind this Chamor.
What does the Chamor represent, physicality?
The Chamor represents physicality. That's the, first of all, the name Choymer. Choymer is physicality, right? Like physical work is done by the Chamor, right? Heavy physical work is done by the Chamor. And even the word Chomer is associated with Chamor.
Materialism.
Chomer, yeah.
Is this true with all experiences with Hashem, or only prophetic ones? For example?
Like?
Well, we're encountering Hashem all the time in whatever act we're doing, whether it's praying or whether eating or
We are speaking specifically when there is an actual encounter, like an awareness of the encounter, or like a very intense encounter experience, close experience.
My understanding that really the highest state is really a union, an elevation of the physical, and a union of the physical and spiritual.
In order to reach that union, you see, when we say separation, it doesn't mean that you physically have to separate yourself from it. It's still part of you. But as long as you're aware of the separation between your physicality and your spirituality, then your physicality becomes an instrument in your relationship with Hashem, and then you raise it and you sanctify it, right? You make kiddush on wine, which represents the danger of the physical world. Remember, yain, right? The yain represents the dangers of the physical world. This is why when the nozir feels controlled by wine, he separates himself from wine. But what do with wine? We make kiddush on wine, which means when we are able to be mavdil ben kodesh lechol, when we come to Shabbos and we are able to differentiate between Friday and Shabbos, which means the recognition of where my physicality ends and my spirituality starts, and I don't mistake my physicality for my essence, the moment I reach that level, then I can take my physicality and raise it to the point that it becomes an instrument in my closeness to God. Right? But that means you left your Chamor behind. You are able to separate yourself from your Chamor. Do you understand what I mean? Which means it's not that you have to ignore it and put it down and destroy it. You use it. It becomes an instrument in your hand. As opposed to anyone who doesn't reach the level of Havdalah separation, it will be impossible for him to find the separating point between the holy and unholy, between the spirituality and the physicality, and it must happen that it will distort his idea of his essence, and he will think that his Chamor, his donkey, is his essence, right? But Avraham Avinu reached the point of, he was capable of separating the two. He was capable of making a havdole, a separation ben Yisrael lo amin, between Jew and Gentile, right? Hamavdil ben kodesh lechoil, ben or lechoisha, ben Yisrael lo amin. When you are able to find that separating point, then you have established this pattern of leaving your Chamor behind.
Bilam could achieve that.
Not only that.
But
not only didn't Bilam achieve it. Now we are coming to Bilam. Bilam is the exact opposite. Bilam, not only isn't he able to leave his chamor behind, he doesn't even recognize it as a chamor. He and his chamor are one. So that sexual interaction between the two is just a symbolism of the oneness, the incapacity of Bilam to separate Ben Kodesh Lechoyer.
How do they have a Nevi'ut then?
What?
How do they have a
Nevi'ut? Fine. I mean, we spoke about the Nevi'ut which comes from the Sitra Achor. Ah, it's right, not a Nevi'ut that stems from the Kedusha.
In Kaplan, in Living Torah, he even alludes to the fact that some say that Bilam fell to the ground when he went to receive the vision from Hashem.
Bilam?
Yes.
Oh, right. I mean, that's old prophets. Except Moshe Rabbeinu. And the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu is different is not because he didn't need it, because he was in a constant state of separation. And most human beings can't retain this level of separation for too long. Therefore, they can have normal marital relations, a prophet, like Miriam says. Why is Moshe different than us? We are prophets and we have normal marital relations because the moment, you can have moments of prophecy and moments of physicality. Moshe was in a constant state of separation. Therefore, he couldn't have normal marital relations. But that's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is why he didn't need to reach the level of unconsciousness in order to receive the Nevuah. He's constantly ready for Nevuah. That's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. No one else ever reached it. Now, says the Klei Yochor, what does it mean now that the donkey is having the Nevuah? What is the message that Bilam receives and the world receives and we receive when we read it? When it says that, you know who is the real Novi here? It's the donkey of Bilam which is the real Novi. Which means, don't mistake Bilam with Avraham Avinu or with other Nevi'im. It has nothing to do. His Nevi'is is a Nevi'is of the donkey, not of his spirituality. Which means that since Bilam, according to the Chazal, is now having his first, remember, this whole story is the first time that Bilam is a Novi. Remember, before that, Bilam is not a Novi. And after this, he's not a Novi. He's a magician, he's not a Novi. But when he's having the spiritual experience of Nevuah, he starts getting ideas about himself. Oh, so I'm a Novi. I must be great. I must not realize how great I really am. Yeah.
What about the dreams he has at night, when he has the representatives to wait and I'll see what Hashem is saying?
This is the first, according to Chazal, this is the first time that Bilam is getting Nevi'ahs. Which means before that, he never had Nevi'ahs. He was just a magician, that's all. With enormous powers, but he wasn't a Novi.
No, but you say that this first Nevuah is with the donkey.
No. His first Nevuah is this story. It's this story with Bolok. This is his first Nevuah. So he's getting an idea that I'm great.
And he had the premonition.
So if I'm great, right, and I have the tremendous power, so I can do anything I want. So the message now was, you should know that your Nevuah has nothing to do with normal Nevuah. This is a different type of Nevuah whose source is not Kedusha at all, and you have nothing to do with Avraham Avinu. This is the whole message according to the Klei Yochor.
Why was he given Nevuah?
Yeah. Why was he given Nevuah? For a specific reason, because the Jews needed him to get Nevuah. Because it was crucial for the development of Jewish history that Bilam should get Nevuah. Well, if we'll have time, we'll see more why was it crucial for the history of Klal Yisrael that Bilam should get Nevuah. Yeah?
If he was at Moses' level, how can he be so far below Moses?
Remember, when we say that he's in Moses' level, we don't mean to say that he reached, remember the two systems, the merit system, which is getting Nevuah through your own merit, through working on yourself, purifying yourself, as opposed to Bilam, who gets Nevuah by chance only. Which means there is a necessity of history that someone should get Nevuah. By chance, Bilam is chosen, and he gets the level of Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it has nothing to do with his own personal spiritual level. He has no spiritual level at all. This is the mistake that Bilam is making, and it's being clarified with the prophecy of the donkey.
He seems to anticipate the
voice. Well, he could. Because that was one of the advantages of Bilam. Bilam is a power of premonition, of knowing what's going to happen. So that became clear in his mind that he's going to get a Nevuah. But it's not that he's a nevuah that tells him that he's going to get a nevuah. That was part of his enormous, we might call it, paranatural powers which he had. Now, let's go on to the broches. In Posuk Lametes, Vayela Bilo Min Bolok, Vayovoyu Kiryas Chutzois. They came to one place called Kiryas Chutzois. Says Rashi, Lametes, Kiryas Chutzois. Kirya is like a city. Chutzois means with the chutz, Loshen chutz. Says Rashi, what does it mean, Kiryas Chutzois? What was he showing him? Ir Meleyo Shvokim. A city full of markets, like a city which is really like alive. Anoshim v'noshim v'taf. Loima. What was the message that Bolok was trying to bring to Bilom? Re'ei v'rachem. Please have pity on these people. Shelo yakru eile. That these people shouldn't die. Now, what does it mean? Bolok thinks that the Jews are going to kill the Moyovim, but they were told not to kill the Moyovim. As a matter of fact, the Meforshim say that in Posuk Dalet, in the beginning of the Parsha, when it says these Jews will be like the oxen who eat the grass around you, and you have nothing left all around you, which means that he wasn't afraid that he's going to get killed, because he knew about the fact that Hashem told Israel, don't start up with Moyov. So why all of a sudden is he afraid that the Jews are going to kill men, women, and children? When do Jews kill men, women, and children? When? When do they?
Sometimes.
What? Sometimes. Amalek.
Shiva Samim.
And Shiva Samim, because if they decide to stay and become a threat to us, then we kill them.
Right? Yagru is not to kill, but to uproot them.
To uproot. So you mean Yagru really means to remove them. So that wouldn't arouse the Rachmones. Yakru is like Yakru mashmai oiker min ho'oilom, like to destroy them completely. So in the Sefer Shemesh Shmuel, he says the following, brings down from the Zohar, that when Bolok and Bilom meet and they become one unit, Bolok and Bilom receive a new nature, which is hinted, he says, by the last two letters of the names of each one of them. That's what the Zohar says. It. What are the last two letters of Bilom? Ayin and Mem. And what are the last two letters of Bolok? Lamed and Kuf. Put it together, and you have Amalek. And in the beginning, you have Beis Lamed Beis, which is Belev Amalek. So says the Shem Yishmuel, this shows us that when the two of them get together, then it becomes like an Amalek. And the insight behind what the Shem Yishmuel says is that what is the difference between Amalek and other sonim that we have, other enemies which we have? By Amalek is an ideology. But Amalek, it's not just hatred. It's an ideology. He believes that the Jews are a danger to the future of mankind. That's the definition of Amalek. I once told you over Reb Chaim Volozhiner, his raya from the Rambam, an incredible raya from the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Melochim, when he talks about our relations with the Moyovim, Amoinim, Mitzrim, he says, Ukvar Ovad Zichron, today it's not relevant because we don't know who they are. That's what the Rambam says. All our relationships with other nations, is not, we don't know who they are anymore, so it's not relevant anymore. And once, the halacha later, it says, and mitzvah to destroy Amalek. How can it be a mitzvah to destroy Amalek? We still don't know who they are. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, so what do you see from this Rambam? That we do know who they are. Right? That's the riot. We do know who they are. How do we know who they are? By their ideology, you see. Other nations, we don't know their ideology. We have to know their genes. And their genes, it's impossible to know. But Amalek, you can recognize Amalek by what he says, what he believes. If he believes that the Jews are a danger to society, right? A danger for the health of the world, and you want to get rid of the Jews because of that, then you are an Amalek. So, therefore, When Bilam gets together with Balak, right? Bilam is the man of the ideology, right? The man who believes that the Jews are a danger to society. Balak is the man of action. Together they become Amalek. Now, and what is the chiyuv? Once they become Amalek, then what's our chiyuv? To destroy them, their wives and children. So this is what's happening over here. When Balak meets Bilam, then he says, now you know what the Jews are going to do with us if we don't succeed. We are Amalek. They're going to destroy us completely. So have pity on us. Here. So this is what's happening over here. So now Moav ceases to be Moav. It's like you can become like an adopted Amaleki. You can be a converted Amaleki. If you change your ideology, anybody can become an Amaleki. Right?
Because it doesn't go by genes. It goes
exactly. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. If it would be by genes, we wouldn't know today who the Amaleki is. But since it goes by ideology, then we know who it is. Also, that's what happened over here. Now, in the first broche of Bilam, Bilam says like this. Yeah, by the way, you know, he tells them to bring korbonos. In chapter Chof Gimel, Vayomer Bilam el Balak b'nei libozeh shivo mizbechois v'ochin libozeh shivo porim v'shivo elim. So he tells him to bring porim, oxen, and elim, goats. So the Mefarshim say it's interesting. We have also porim in our korbonos and elim. But more common than anything by us, you know what is? Not Purim and not Eilim. Kvosim,
sheep.
Right? How come they didn't bring sheep in? If you take a look, all the korbones, they brought, according to the Gemara, 42 korbones. No sheep at all. So in the Mefarshim it says that the keves, right, that we bring every morning and every evening, is a keves soecho tase baboiker, is a keves asheni tase beno arbaim. Why do we bring kvosim constantly? Every once in a while, we bring porim, we bring oxen, we bring goats. But our constant bringing is the keves. Why? Because the keves is a symbol of submission. Right? Submission to somebody else's will. The par and the ayil are more aggressive, more independent. The keves just follows the rules. Right? So it says, that's the Klal Yisrael main characteristic. Our main characteristic is complete submission to Hashem. Doesn't mean that we don't take matters into our own hands when Hashem allows us to do it. But our constant state is a state of keves. That Bilam and Balak weren't ready to accept. Korbones, yes, but not keves korbones. Therefore, it's not really korbones. Because the essence of korban is the idea of complete submission. Right? The idea of recognizing that I'm completely dependent on Hashem. This is why the keves is crucial to the korban. They wanted korbones to bribe God, not to establish their relationship with God. So therefore they brought porim and elim, not vosim, because they are not willing to submit to Hashem. Then it says, in posuk dalet, vayikor Elokim el Bilam. It's interesting. By Moshe Rabbeinu it says, vayikro. And if you remember the Vayikro El Moshe, you know how it's spelled in the beginning of Vayikro? With a small aleph. The small difference between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Vav Yud Kuf Reish, that's Bilam. With a small aleph, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. What is the difference between Vayikro and Vayikor? Vayikor is related to which word?
Keri
or Koro, which means what?
To happen
by chance. Something which happens completely by chance.
Mikre.
Which means not as a result of merit. Not as a result of a relationship. By Moshe Rabbeinu it was Vayikro. It was specifically a relationship between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. By Bilam it's only Vayikor.
So the same
lesson
in the beginning, the same Kuf Reish in the fifth pasuk of the Parsha. When I first read it, I thought about whether there might be a connection.
Balak sending to Bilam, you mean? That was for Balak. It was likroiloi, but you know, I mean, that's not a loshen mikre there. That's a loshen actual calling. But the relationship with Hashem is pure mikre, which means it has no merit to it at all. And what does he say in the first broche? He says in posuk ches mo ekoiv loy kaboy keilu moy ezon loy zman Hashem. I can't curse the Jews; they are not curseable. Why aren't they curseable? So I told you what the Gemara says, because in order to your power of cursing should be successful, should function, you need a crack. You need a vulnerable point. That vulnerable point, that crack, is called God's anger, which means an avera which causes God's anger. If Hashem will control his anger, then the crack won't be there, and the power of the curse won't be able to penetrate. That's what the Gemara says. And in those days, God didn't allow his anger to work. Okay, so this is what the Gemara says, why he wasn't able to curse. And then he says in Posuk Yud, I can't curse you. In Posuk Tes he says, Ki meroish tsuri mereno, the mountains he mentions, and Chazal say the mountains are a hint to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Giboys, the hills, are a hint to Soro, Rivka, Rochel, Leo. So he says, you know, because of this chus ovois, I can't touch you. They are not vulnerable, the Jews. Because mi mono afar Yaakov, who can count the dust of the Jews? So the question is, we know that in the brochos that the Jews get, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, there are three types of broches. There is a broche to be like the stars, there is a broche to be like the sand, and there is a broche to be like the dust. Right? That's it. Ke afar ho'oretz, ke choy lasher al sfas hayom, and ke koich v'yashomayim. In the Meforshim it says that the broche of ke koich v'yashomayim is only when the Jews are in a very high level and they can shine. And the world can recognize and use our rays of light. That's only like when Mashiach will come, or in the days of Shloimeh HaMelech, then we were like the stars. Most of the times in Golis, we are either like the sand, and what does the sand represent? The koyach to withstand the power of the waters. Remember, the waters which hit against the shore. Eventually, when everything is quieted down, it looks like the sand is stronger than the waves. Even though on the surface, the waves seem so powerful, and the sand so meek, in reality, the sand will always survive the waves. So that's the koyach of the Jews. The koyach of the Jews is the fact that they can withstand the power of the waves in the Golis. And what is the koyach ho'ofor? The koyach ho'ofor is a special quality that the Jews have, that when necessary, they can survive. Even at a time when, if we would show what we are, we would arouse other people's jealousy and hatred, so we are able to control that desire to show off and be like the dust. Because the dust represents something that everybody uses. You step on the dust, but nobody ever pays attention to it. Right? It doesn't strike you as it doesn't scream out to you, look at me. Nobody looks at the dust. The fact that it is usable. It is usable. You can plant on dust. But nobody pays attention to it. You step on it. This is why we say in Elokai Netzor Leshoni Meiro, please guard my tongue. I shouldn't say anything wrong, because if I say something wrong, people will start saying things against me and doing things against me. Bilim Kalelai. What's that? Bilim Kalelai. Those people who want to curse me, Nafshi Keofor Lakol Tie. What is the connection? My nefesh should be like dust to those that want to do harm to me. It means that they shouldn't see me. I should be unseen, so this is the way I can survive. So it says like this. What is the whole point that Bilam is making here? That Jews can survive everything. Even under the worst circumstances, they have that power of survival. That power of survival is the power of Ofor. This is why of the three broches, Bilam says here, even though they are in danger now, but mimo no afar Yaakov. The koyach of Yaakov is in Ofor. All right, we'll stop here.